You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet. A tool that is used to see damage to materials that are made to withstand the harshest conditions inside a nuclear reactor is now being used to examine some of nature's most delicate species. For more than 40 years, nuclear energy researchers have used Idaho National Laboratory's neutron radiography reactor, better known as NRAD, to look inside nuclear fuel and other components. And today, thanks to a series of upgrades to NRAD, scientists are hoping this technology can help researchers in other fields as well. In fact, Idaho State University biology student Amanda Salmonlosky is working with INL engineers to study sea sponges because they absorb so much pollution on the ocean floor. And Amanda is joining me live on the phone from the INL. Welcome to the program, Amanda.
Thank you for having me.
I apologize if I butchered your last name there. I did my best. So my apologies to you.
Oh, that's okay.
So quickly explain what exactly the NRAD does.
So NRAD is a relatively small trigger reactor, and it has various capabilities for doing different types of scientific research. The portion that I'm the most familiar with would be it has the ability to do neutron radiography. So it has special lines where it can shoot essentially neutrons out to activate specimens in order to generate a picture, much like an X-ray.
Okay.
But it has the ability to do other things. They can do in-tank or in-core experiments, mm-hmm. Just kind of depending on what specifically the nuke industry needed. But we're trying to branch that out to new fields, as you were saying before.
So for you, talk to me then about the technology and how it helps your research and what you're doing. And I guess before that, tell me about your research with sea sponges.
So my research with sea sponges is really centered on trying to find the most effective ways to categorize the amount of pollution inside them. Right now, I'm focused on cadmium because it works really well with neutrons. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to branch out to other things. So for my research, when I was reading through other scientists' research, I was seeing that they were stripping away some of the components of the sea sponges that I thought were important because the analytical techniques they were using were requiring like acid dissolution. So they were dissolving them in acid and they were losing some of the information. So I really wanted to find other techniques that would allow me to keep the sponge itself intact.
Mm.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, because sea sponges, I was doing a little bit of reading, and apparently they absorb a lot of pollutants. And is it because they're basically on the ocean floor? Is that, I mean, I know that might sound just very elementary, but is that the basic idea?
No, that's not actually just elementary. That is the actual idea. They are the most basal species. That means that they are the most simple animal that we know. They're not a plant. They are actually an animal. Their sole purpose in life is to filter water. The specific species I work with filters water even if portions of it have been killed. So it sits there, and as the water flows through it, the cells that are alive are able to absorb whatever's in the water. They don't really have the ability to refuse anything.
Mm.
That makes them excellent as biomarkers. Because we can see the amount of pollution that was put into them just by the fact that they have no way to move away from it. They have no way to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like a fish or other items that can leave the area of pollution. This really helps us target the pollution where we found them, so we know exactly where it was.
And so because of that, that's why you also want them completely intact, I would think, because then you can actually see all of the pollution, not just a piece here or a piece there.
Yes. My concern that I had was we were missing the overall picture. If we only pay attention to it's called their spicules, so analogous to your bones. If we only pay attention to what's in those, we're missing what's in the remaining cells, so the tissue. It would be like only focusing on cancer in a human's bones, but ignoring any of their vital organs or their skin, anything like that. That's really what brought me to the nuke technology, but also the fact that this method of visualization is non-destructive. So once I've imaged them, I can do other tests with them. So it doesn't cut off my mode of analyzing with some mm-hmm. other form of science or analytical techniques.
So this is really, even though the technology has been around, like we mentioned, for 40 years, it's new in the sense of being able to use it. And as you said, almost take an X-ray of these sea sponges because you haven't had the ability to do that previously.
It's not necessarily new. It has been used a lot more in European reactors mm-hmm. where they are doing dinosaur bones, plants, antiquities such as old vases where they want to see what's inside it, but they can't open it.
Ah, okay.
The U.S. just has tended to lag behind those uses for our technology. I think mainly it's because a lot of researchers simply don't know that it exists.
I'm speaking with Amanda Smolinski. She's a biology student at Idaho State University. We're talking about some of her research that she is doing. So with this, with the NRAD, what have you been able to find so far? And you said, I know that you're focusing on cadmium, but tell me a little bit about any findings that you have discovered at this point.
So right now I have shown that sea sponges do absorb cadmium in appreciable amounts. I did that in a previous experiment using neutron activation analysis. So the current experiment that I'm working on with NRAD was where I was imaging it because I really want to see where they're putting it. So can we target specific species better so we only have to take a portion of the sponge rather than the whole thing? I've been able to isolate an area of one specific specimen where it appears the cadmium was deposited very thick around the cavity of the sponge, the interior cavity. So to give you an idea of what the image looks like, it does look like an X-ray. Neutrons and X-rays work in a similar fashion. They just work on a different part of the atom. So they give you a complementary picture.
Hmm.
So the pictures I'm looking at are very similar to what you would look at if you got your bones X-rayed. The cadmium attenuates neutrons, so it's brighter in my inverted images. So I can see where it is compared to where the silica of the sponge would be. So it's a very bright line that I'm looking at.
And can this research help us at some point maybe be able to not just know that there's pollution in the ocean and the ocean floor? I mean, I think, you know, most people would be aware of that, but the potential to maybe, you know, clean it up or change the way we're doing certain things?
That's ultimately my goal, is to really study where this pollution is and ways that we can mitigate it, not just in the sea sponges, but throughout the ecology of that specific region. I think that if we can push this technology and be able to image these sponges, we can create essentially a pollution map. We could know where the pollution is, where it's coming from. Then we can target the best ways to mitigate it. I know several scientists who are trying to work on ways to essentially absorb certain heavy metals from the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
It would be great if the sponges would work for that application. I think I'd have to leave that to somebody who is more of a molecular biologist
mm-hmm.
than I am. But I think that before we can answer that question, first we have to see, can we map it somehow? And I think that's where I would like to push this to see if they're useful for that.
And have you studied sea sponges in numerous oceans or one particular ocean? And do you want to extend that to all of our oceans?
So right now, mine are just specimens that I have exposed to the cadmium myself. They are not ones that I have pulled from a polluted area.
Mm.
That is hopefully going to be the next step. We know that cadmium is unfortunately distributed throughout the ocean in higher amounts than we would like. So I have several areas I'd like to target when I do get to that point. But right now I'm at the point where I'm just establishing that this is possible and that the technology works. Mm-hmm.
And as you said, too, I mean, since it's throughout the ocean, isn't cadmium, can it be harmful to fish?
Yes. So it can run up the food chain, much like something like DDT did.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a concern that if we're seeing it in large amounts in something at the bottom of the food chain, what are we going to be seeing as it moves up the food chain? These other animals have the ability to leave the area, but once it becomes so pervasive in the ocean, they simply have nowhere else to go.
And we eat the fish. So it's not something that we would, and then that would transfer, I'm assuming, to humans.
Yes, and we know that cadmium is an extremely toxic substance for humans. There is no useful biological reason to have cadmium in your system, and it's not something that's easily removed by the human body. So we really need to try to figure out a way to get specifically this pollutant under control before we start to see it in large amounts in our food chain.
Well, this is fascinating research. I want to thank you for taking some time out of your day today and talking with us about this. So thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
My guest today, Amanda Smolinski. She is a biology student at Idaho State University.